the name of God, holy, and undivided Trinity. Amen. Have you ever seen the classic 1942 World War II film Casablanca, starring Humphrey Bogart and David Bergman? The beginning of the film, there's a narrator voiceover as a globe spins and then the view zooms in to a map of the Mediterranean and then finally into the city of Casablanca in North Africa. Now, the story is thus situated in a world at war, in a part of the world deemed relatively unimportant, in a city where those without much power or resources go, as the grim voiced narrator says, to wait and wait and wait. Back to that in just a second. It's a funny thing about this gospel for Christmas Eve. If you go back to the original language, the Greek, St. Luke wrote this part of the gospel in very old-fashioned kind of language, very much like our King James English translation, you might remember, maybe from a Charlie Brown Christmas or something. And it came to pass in those days. But while St. Luke is writing in a language that might sound like once upon a time, you know, timeless, like an old tale from long ago and far away, he's at the same time situating this event in a particular time and a particular place. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And from this very precise historical political framework on a macro scale, just like the director of Casablanca, Luke zooms in, really tight zoom in, to this one Jewish carpenter and his young pregnant wife, peasants under occupation by Rome, folks who would never have rated even an historical footnote. And they're given the full grand language treatment, no less than Caesar and Quirinius. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. You know, that's the point. Jesus was not born into a fairy tale world where everything was perfect, everything was perfectly ready. Despite what the Christmas carols say, it was messy. Probably had no snow at all, and it wasn't very silent. Jesus probably yelled his lungs out just like any healthy newborn. This was a particular real baby, born at a particular real time, in a particular real place, whose parents had to deal with all the real and usual concerns and stresses and fears and difficulties in a complicated world like our own. The world didn't stand still to accommodate the birth of this child, or the difficulties of his parents, or any of the other thousands of folks there in Judea and Galilee. God sent his only son to be with us, among us, and like us, in the real world where governments and wars and terrorists and insecurity and hardship and loss were always present, always a concern, just like now. But as the angel said to the terrified shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." nicely wrapped packages and festive gift cards, and we miss something if we stop them. And that something is that we also are gifts. Gifts to the world. Bearers of good news and hope and love. Bearers of the good news that no one is unworthy. No one is unloved. That our lives, each of them, have immeasurable worth. And that we each have a key role in God's project. God's project to heal, to be delivered from fear and anger and alienation from each other. To transform those forces and powers that would corrupt and destroy God's creatures, and to reconcile all things to God. And we do this through our lives, through our words and our actions, speaking truth and love, encouraging and empowering others, telling truth to power on behalf of others, especially the poor, those who mourn, those who suffer hardship or loss. The folks who are in this way, like baby Jesus and his parents. The gift of Christmas is the invitation that we too can be born again, our true selves, to incarnate, to make flesh of.